You don't have to worry about the traffic, despite the fact that it's first day back at school. Normally traffic is at its heaviest around these times, but all the trains are running on time. And I mention the trains because you want to hear my next story, which really goes to the heart of what's wrong here in Queensland and why our systems of accountability go awry. 23 degrees in Brisbane, Bayside 22, Logan 23, Ipswich 25, the Gold Coast 20, and the Sunshine Coast 22. Give me a call if you see something happening around the streets of Brisbane. 1300 222 612 is a phone number, or send a text 0467 922 612. Well, a major embarrassment in court this morning for the Crime and Corruption Commission when they offered no evidence against rail advocate and self-described whistleblower Mr. Paul Pluter. Mr. Pluter warned then Minister for Transport Stirling Hinchliffe about a looming train driver shortage. Now, you know this story as Rail Fail. After it was revealed that Queensland Rail didn't have enough train drivers, the CCC started investigating how a report was released to the media. The CCC controversially used their coercive hearing powers against Paul Pluter, who was alleged to have leaked the report of the QR train driver shortage at the beginning of the Rail Fail. The CCC charged Mr. Pluter not with leaking any documents, but actually with telling someone, passing on to a third party, that he had been hauled before their star chamber using the coercive powers. Now, let me just clarify for you and make very clear. The Crime and Corruption Commission is Queensland's peak crime-fighting body. It has extraordinary powers, the powers of a standing royal commission. And in their own words, the CCC's coercive hearings power is, quote, most often sought by Queensland Police for unsolved murders, organised crime investigations involving drug trafficking, money laundering, or crimes involving the use of weapons, end of quote. So why did they use their coercive powers on a middle-aged, overweight, white guy, in his own words? Paul Pluter, you don't see this entirely as a win for you in the court today. Why not?
Oh, look, it's definitely not a win in the sense that, look, I'm very happy with the result. Let's just clarify that there. I mean,
yes,
I'm a lower middle class, overweight, white guy, okay, to continually mount legal battles, hugely costly. This is a fantastic result for me because basically my case against the CCC was dismissed today by a magistrate. The prosecution offered no evidence against me. So I am over the moon, okay? So let's not avoid that. But no, I'm very happy with the way justice has prevailed, and it didn't go to a trial. So I mean, look.
But it's not a win. The CCC offered no evidence, and I think that frustrates you somewhat.
No. I don't want to sell my house. I don't want to sell everything of value to fight senseless battles with David. David and Goliath. Okay?
So let me ask you a couple of specific questions. First of all, did you think it was appropriate that the Crime and Corruption Commission used their coercive hearings powers, normally reserved for drug kingpins and organised crime people, to pursue you?
This is an interesting question. If you look back at the original Fitzgerald edict, when they set this type of thing up, for whistleblower-type people like me, where I have made no financial advantage, I have gained nothing but trouble out of it. This was purely public interest. For whistleblower-type people, in the past, you needed to get a sign-off from a very senior judge. I think it may have been a Supreme Court judge, but if not a Supreme Court judge, it's certainly a very senior judge. Now, the CCC is basically judge, jury, and executioner all in one. And I got to be completely honest with you, what sort of state has secret police? Okay, what sort of state has coercive hearings? So you don't have the right to silence. I've never heard of these things before.
Well, then let me ask you, I'll get you to answer my question. I said, did you think it's appropriate for the Crime and Corruption Commission to use their coercive powers, normally reserved for organised crime figures, to pursue you over an embarrassing political leak on train driver numbers?
I think it's absolutely disgusting. I mean, if anything, they should be giving me a gong. They should be giving me a medal for standing up and saying, hey, here's the fault. The emperor has no clothes. I mean, I've got to be honest with you. I used to drink the Kool-Aid, the ALP Kool-Aid, okay? I was a young Labour. I even made a cup of tea for Wayne Goss years ago. And I believed when Labour was in, you could have freedom of speech. You weren't arrested. You weren't. They didn't have secret interviews. And I got to tell you the truth, the Kool-Aid I was drinking is a lie. Okay? The Kool-Aid I was drinking is a lie. There is only freedom of speech in Queensland if you say what the government is saying. You make a minister look bad, you make them look bad, they will come after you. Okay? And I've got to tell you this, you look at my case.
Well, let me ask you, your case was one where, at the beginning of the rail fail, as it's now known, you got hold of and released a document, the INDEC report, that revealed that there was a known train driver shortage looming in Queensland Rail, and it was you released it to the media. The minister at the time, Stirling Hinchliffe, was embarrassed and clearly didn't know. Do you see what took place, where the Crime and Corruption Commission charged you, as some sort of political payback, do you?
Look, let me tell you this. Even before I released, that was the INDEC report, I had written to the minister personally. That was the first flare-up in the newspaper.
Stirling Hinchliffe.
So I had written to Stirling and told him the problems. I'd even written to the CCC to tell them about the problems. To be honest with you, I'd already gone to them and said, hey, this is some problems. They told me to get stuffed. I got a form letter back from Stirlo, and I got a form letter back from the CCC, which basically said, get stuffed.
You mean, no case, didn't listen to you, no case to answer, nothing to see here?
Just a form letter, a fob off.
Okay, but I think that later came out that the Minister, Stirling Hinchliffe, wasn't aware of the INDEC report that identified there was a looming train driver shortage.
That's correct. And the interesting thing is, in Parliament itself, in Hansard, they actually used my copy of the INDEC report, which was later than the copy that was supplied to Stirling himself by the department.
So my question to you was, do you regard this as some form of political payback, the fact that you were charged under what's the powers, the coercive hearings powers, where you lose the right to silence? It's called the Star Chamber, and normally it's reserved for organised crime figures and drug lords, and yet they pursued you, Paul Pluta, a railways advocate.
This is complete payback. I mean, if you say anything against the government, I'd like to make it as a warning there. If there's any people out there who are thinking of whistleblowing, put your head in the sand. Don't reveal nothing. These people will come after you. They will bankrupt you. Let me tell you this. I had the police turn up at my house three times.
Three times the Crime and Corruption Commission served you with notices to appear.
Correct.
Do you regard that as some form of harassment?
It's either absolute incompetence. I'm not making any statement on it. I'm just telling you the facts.
Yes.
You can make whatever you want of it. Are they that hopeless? I don't know. How could they have got it wrong? I got three notices to appear. They allege they made a mistake on one of the dates. They allege these things. But
yes.
I cannot believe that senior, experienced task force like this. It seems very, very, very strange. Okay?
Can I ask you then, Paul Pluta, does the Parliamentary Oversight Committee, the Crime and Corruption Committee, or the Parliamentary Commissioner need to examine how this happened, how an ordinary guy who's a rail advocate ends up getting dragged before the Star Chamber of the Crime and Corruption Commission and charged, and when it actually gets to court, as has happened to you today, the prosecution from the Crime and Corruption Commission didn't even offer any evidence. Does that need to be examined by the Parliamentary Committee or the Parliamentary Commissioner for the Crime and Corruption Committee?
This is what they should be looking to. Don't worry about my case. Don't worry about my case. I honestly am happy the matter is over. I can go back to my lower middle class ways in my lower middle class suburb.
You wrote to the then Minister, Stirling Hinchliffe, and advised him of a looming train driver shortage.
Yes.
You've now proved your case.
Yes.
It's now been proved that you were right.
Yes.
And all the authorities ignored you.
Yes.
So what's your feeling then about when you tried to warn both the minister in the Queensland government, and you even went to the Crime and Corruption Commission initially to warn them that something was wrong, that for some reason they weren't doing anything about this looming train driver shortage? You've proved your case.
Yes, well, I tell you what, I've paid a high price.
And so what's your message to the state government then?
My advice to anyone out there is don't get involved. Don't whistleblow. They will drag you through the mud. I mean, if I had a conventional job, do you think turning up at court 7 times, it's a great way to get your contract extended? It's a great way to get a promotion when you're constantly taking days off to appear at court cases.
What's been the effect on your life, Paul Pluta?
My life is absolutely devastated. I tell you what, I've learned a very valuable lesson. Do not whistleblow. You were told. You were told. I had Terry O'Gorman's firm represented me at that stage. If they think I'm lying, I can be jailed. If I don't answer a question, I can be jailed. If I refuse to answer, you can be jailed. If I don't turn up, can be jailed. What sort of country? What sort of state has a secret police force on its citizens? I'm a clean skin. I haven't been charged. I've got a clean record. I'm just a lower middle class, boring guy. Okay, I've never seen this sort of. I didn't know. This is the most scariest event of my life.
Paul Pluta, I'll leave it there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much.
Rail advocate Paul Pluta, the man who advised the Queensland Government and the Crime and Corruption Commission that there was a problem in QR, a man who advised the Minister that there was a train driver shortage. He was subsequently proved correct, but for reasons that have not been clearly answered, the Crime and Corruption Commission, Queensland's peak crime-fighting body, took him into their star chamber under their coercive powers provisions, questioned him, and because he told a third party that he'd been questioned in their star chamber, they then laid charges against him. The matter was heard in a Brisbane court today, and the CCC, the Crime and Corruption Commission, offered no evidence. Now, we're pursuing this story. You'll hear, I should mention, by the way, that we've spoken previously with Terry O'Gorman about this. The Council of Civil Liberties expressed their very real concern about what the Crime and Corruption Commission have done to a citizen. To find out today that they didn't even bother to offer evidence. Now, I didn't hear what the judge had to say, but I wish I was. They offered no evidence. We'll be speaking with Mr. O'Gorman, we believe, just after 6 this evening about what should happen next. And we'll put in a call. We have, I should mention, by the way, we did call the Crime and Corruption Commission at 1:30 this afternoon. At this stage, I've not heard back from them. We also contacted Queensland's Attorney General's office, Yvette Darth. At this stage, we've not heard back from her either. Hopefully, that will change.
My name's